Well, dear brothers and sisters, obviously, I'm not with you and can't be with you physically, but I can honestly say,
я не физически с вами здесь, но я с вами в духе, в моем сердце, в духовной сфере. Я с вами.
Even though I'm upstairs in the house I live in, that's physical. But our heart and spirit joined to Christ and the body makes it possible for me to be there personally with all of you. And because you're my brothers and sisters, with each one of you. And I want to mention in the beginning the nature of the messages
сообщений на этой конкретной конференции.
The general subject helps us to understand this crucial aspects of the Christian life at the end of the age. I do not join those who try to predict during what year the Lord will come, at what time the 70th week will start. I leave that to those who want to consider that. But I believe there's a widespread inner feeling that we're nearing the end of the age. The age of grace, the age of mystery, the age of the church. And as a result of my experience last year, as you know about it, in a sufficient degree, my portion in the ministries of
worship,
as always, is based upon the divine revealed truth. It's carried out by a governing vision involving revelation, light, and sight. But all this is the foundation for genuine, personal, spiritual experience. And the Lord, who is the shepherd of our souls and who is shepherding our souls at this very moment, he knows where we are, he knows what we need, he knows what is coming. And he has a way when a ministry conference is carried out in the spirit of the body. Yes, it's in a region, Nordic and Baltic, but that's just the practical arrangement. This is a body matter. And therefore, again, based upon verses and based upon the proper understanding of the verses, what's in my spirit and what is in my heart is genuine experience and actual development in our daily living with the Lord. And the Lord knows we're in different stages, but in a particular way, because I'm an octogenarian, I'm not the oldest person in the Lord's recovery, but we're in another stage of life, and our situation is very different from someone young like 46. And in a particular way, these older saints are in my heart, because we all know we're nearing the end of our journey on the earth. And what's in my heart is that you all come to the end in glory, in peace, in victory. And so the messages, you will see, are always based upon the Word of God, properly interpreted by the ministry of the age. But the aim and the goal is that the things that are presented the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, will apply to each one of us according to our present situation. And this includes me as the one I'm speaking for about an hour, because I'm still in the process. I haven't been raptured yet, but I have the living hope that I want all of us to be the living overcomers and be raptured together. And so I want to present to you four of crucial aspects of the Christian life at the end of the age. Because as we're approaching the end of the age, and many of us are approaching the end of our journey, it would be very helpful for us to realize where we are and what we need. So message one has quite a simple subject as the title, Living to the Lord. And we will see the difference, at least begin to see the difference between living to the Lord and living for the Lord, or living by the Lord, or living with the Lord. So I'd like to take a few minutes to read to you some verses from Romans 14 and 2 Corinthians 5 with brief comments, so that the living Word of God is laid before us. And especially as I'm reading the verses now from Romans 14, it will be verses 7, 8, and 9. But I ask you, please, turn your heart, open your heart afresh, exercise your spirit, but please don't be just subjective and allow our soul life to apply these things to ourselves. But just be open for the light of life to shine in us. And then in relation to these verses, I want to read you a hymn which has touched me very much and may be also quite a supply to all of you. So Romans 14, 7, 8, and 9. For none of us lives to himself, and none dies to himself. Whether we live to the Lord. And whether we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For Christ died and lived again for this, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. So please notice what Paul is saying and how Paul was had been trained to live. None of us lives to himself. May this become the Lord's testimony concerning us. These dear saints in the Baltic countries, in the Nordic countries, and in all the countries joining us in this conference, wherever we are, we're beginning to see we do not live to ourselves. We are the Lord's. And what's on the Lord's heart for us at the end of this age is that we're living to the Lord. Only married sisters know what it's really like in the last few weeks before your wedding, or maybe even the last several days. But your being is focused on that. I don't think you're that concerned about politics or the world situation or the economy. You're just focused on this marvelous event. Well, we're heading toward the most wonderful event that will be in the whole universe is when the bride has made herself ready and the bridegroom comes and raptures her just before the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Don't you want to be there? Of course you do. And the Lord wants us to be there. And now this is the hymn which touched me very much. Hymn 504. In English, the only language I'm fluent in, here's the hymn. I'll simply read it carefully, but without comment. It speaks for itself. Jesus, I live to thee, the loveliest and best. My life in thee, thy life in me, in the best love I rest. Jesus, I die to thee. Whenever death shall come, to die in thee is life to me. With thee, I'm ever one. Whether to live or die, I know not which is best. To live in thee is blessed to me. To die is endless rest. Living or dying, Lord, I ask but to be thine. My life in thee, thy life in me, makes thee forever mine. And now, the key verses for this particular message are in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just two verses, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we have judged this, that one died for all. Therefore, all died. And he died for all, that those who live may live no longer, they may no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and has been raised. And as we walk through together on the outline, with the Spirit flowing into all of us, through us, and out from us, we will realize more and more how wonderful, how blessed it is for us to have this clear word presented to us, living to the Lord. But I want to just emphasize the beginning of verse 14.
Подчеркнуть начало 14 стиха. Источник этого переживания – это любовь Христова.
It's like a, not demanding us, but constraining us. Like a river flowing, not in a destructive way, but in a marvelous way. There's this spiritual river flowing, and we're constrained by it. When the Lord releases the unlimited love for all of us, as perhaps he will do now, and the river of love is flowing, and it just brings us to where we've never been before in our experience with the Lord, and enables us to be and to do what we could never be or do by our own effort. And the important point here is that Christ died for all. We know this objectively, but directly from the word, Romans 6:6. Our old man was crucified with Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, toward the end, that Christ died for me, and he loved me. So though we were born at different times in different parts of the earth, in the eyes of God, who is not limited by time and space, we all died when Christ died on the cross. And when he resurrected, we know from his speaking in John chapter 20, when he said, "Go to my brothers," we, again, in the eyes of God, were regenerated at the same time. And Christ died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that we who live may no longer live to themselves, but to the Lord. So this will become a decision that's personal. No one can make it for you. No one should thrust it upon you, require it of you. But we should be aware. And let's just not be governed by the past. Let's not live by memories, whether they're negative or positive. Let's press on, as Paul was doing, to the best is ahead. That where will we be from now until the end of the age and the end of our journey? Living to ourselves or living to the Lord? This, I believe, the Lord is clearly but gently asking us from this point on, until you meet me, however that may be, and whenever that may be, from this part of your journey, will you make the decision to live to me, not to yourself? Now we come to the outline with this as the foundation. And we'll walk through it. I'm not going to just read, but I'll emphasize and comment on certain points as the Spirit leads and the Spirit anoints. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, Paul does not speak of living for the Lord, by the Lord, or with the Lord. Instead, he speaks of living to the Lord. So we all need to understand this. And the Lord, the source of truth, is God, who is light. And he wants to shine in our heart, so that we know something more than these little words, by, with, for, to. We can have the inner realization of the difference. And living for the Lord is a precious, positive thing. Surely many of us have been living for the Lord. You're here for this conference with the Lord. And many can say, "I'm here by the Lord. He enabled me to be here in person or in Zoom." Maybe I'm in southern Russia. Maybe I'm in Poland. Maybe I'm in Brazil, wherever we are. A, to live to the Lord is to take him as the aim of our living. In everything we do, Christ should be our unique aim. This is the goal. I believe many of you will be able to immediately understand or agree with what I'm about to say, that when the truth concerning the kingdom, the heavenly kingdom and the kingdom of God, and the coming age, the kingdom age of 1,000 years, only the overcoming saints will be there as co-kings. For they will be the only ones who will be part of the bride who has made herself ready. And surely that became a personal goal. And the Lord is pleased with that. Lord, Please make me an overcoming saint for your victory. But eventually, as the Lord is leading us and guiding us to him, but he has the right as the king to demand and to satisfy his desire. May the Lord cover me to say on my behalf and many of your behalf, because we love the Lord, we're living to satisfy the desire of his heart. We want to contribute to his joy in coming for his bride and accomplish his purpose. Dear sisters and brothers, wouldn't it be delightful if we are standing before the Son of Man at the judgment seat, and he would say with a smile, "You're living on the earth, are living to me. You contributed to the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. You paid the price. You did the will of God. You followed his leading. And now I say, well done, good and faithful slave. Enter into the joy of your master." Section 2, Christ died for our sins so that we may be forgiven. How thankful we are for this. How daily we appreciate this and apply the effectiveness, the power of his redemptive blood for us. And he died for us so that we may live to him. Paul fully understood this when he wrote a verse that we all know. "I was crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." So he realized that Christ died not only for the forgiveness of sins, but he died to bring him to an end so that Christ could live in him and he would live in Christ. Christ's death not only saves us from death so that we may not need to die, but also causes us through his resurrection to live no longer to ourselves, but him. We'll see a little bit later toward the end of this message that it's the resurrection life of Christ that enables us to do what only he can do. He knows we can't do it, even though that's the requirement. He wants us to say amen to the requirement. Live to me. I died for you. You died with me so that you could live to me. Now I want you to know only by the power of my resurrection life are you able to live to me. So open up and let the resurrection life of Christ flow throughout your being as you are moving toward the out resurrection. I hope you heard that message, or at least got the basic thought. One, to live to ourselves means that we are under our own control and direction, and that we care for our own aims and goals. How many of us have been, and all are in the process, and all will be saved from living to ourselves, to be under our own control and direction? May this really be touched. I'm not my own, Lord. I'm yours. Who am I to say I live according to under my control but yours. Two, to live through the Lord means that we are under the Lord's control and direction, and that we want to satisfy him and fulfill his purpose. In other verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul explained that when I'm with the saints, I need to be sober, you know, to be very clear and to be normal. But when I'm alone with the Lord, I'm using my words, I'm just rejoicing. It's just delightful. I'm with you. You're wonderful. I love you. You're everything to me. Well, this is part of what it's like when we are under the Lord's control and we want to satisfy him and fulfill his purpose. You just realize, Lord, this is why you created me, why you redeemed me, why you brought me into the Lord's recovery, why you led me to a genuine church, a local church, why you have kept me here in spite of so many things that have happened personally and corporately. Thank you, Lord. I am yours. I'm not here for my goal. I'm not here for my purpose. And so, just allow me to say, as a simple word of testimony, giving glory to God, I'm still alive. The Lord did not take me to himself a year ago because he wanted me to remain at least for a certain length of time that only God knows, to satisfy the desire of his heart and to minister Christ experientially to hundreds and even thousands of saints. I just pause here for a moment to say, be thankful, Lord. We have heard so many messages. Many of us were directly under Brother Lee's ministry. We're so thankful for the recovery version and the footnotes and the life studies. And we will just go on reading them until the end. But based upon that, my burden day and night is that we begin to experience what we've been knowing. Lord, make it real to us. We don't just know the difference between by, with, for, and to. Lord, make it real to me in your shepherding care for me. And do it in all the members of the body, that you will have a mature bride ready in every way for your coming. B, living to the Lord is deeper in significance than living for the Lord. And we'll try to make this clear. One, to the Lord implies that we are the Lord's possession, that we already belong to him. For the Lord implies that we are still our own and are according to our pleasure and convenience. And so when we do something for the Lord, and this, it may be with such a pure motive, but still we are doing something by our capacity for the Lord. And so the Lord is here, and I want him to receive this. And so I'm going to do this for you. If the Lord would ask, well, what is the source? Well, I don't know, but this is what I feel. But when we begin to experience living to the Lord, we will realize that we belong to him and that we are according to his direction and will. Living for the Lord implies that I and the Lord are still two. Living to the Lord indicates, I'm repeating this deliberately, that I am one with the Lord, as the wife is one with the husband in married life. So I just pause here. This point might be in the text. I don't remember everything in the outline. The difference between doing something to and doing something for. And I remember Brother Lee gave this testimony, you know, decades ago, and he was invited to minister in a locality in a part of China, quite a distance from where he lived. And he knew what his diet was and what was healthy for him and what he really enjoyed. And the dear sisters there, they knew he was coming, and so they prepared a certain kind of food for him, because they thought this was the best we have. This is something that we really enjoy and delight in. They didn't realize that it was, this is counter his own body, what he can really digest, what he can really enjoy. And so it was a kind of trial. It set before him. And remember, Paul said, you know, when you're, he sends, the Lord sends us out to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and then you're staying with some people there, whatever they put on the table, you just eat it, whatever it is. You don't say, oh, I don't like this, I want to have pizza and ice cream. No, you don't do that. It's there. It was for you. And so this has stayed with me to realize, oh, Lord, how much I have been at least trying to do something for you. Lord, but what's on your heart is that whatever I say and do is to you. You're the source. You're the goal. And as I'm learning this, because I'm still a learner, and I will be to the end, there's just such a deep peace and joy to sense the Lord's happiness. This is to me, not just for me. This is what's in my heart. This is the desire of my heart. And it's between you and me, you know. And then we just realize, Lord, just do what you need to do, that every aspect of my Christian life is to you. Okay, Roman numeral 3. Living to the Lord is based upon the fact that we are the Lord's. We belong to him. We emphasized this in a particular way previously in this message, but now we're looking at it from another point of view. So living to the Lord has a basis, the fact that we are the Lord's. We belong to him. And so may I, again, on behalf of the Lord, I'm not an interrogator, okay? And I'm just asking, can you just stand before the Lord personally? And then as he would lead, you can stand before others corporately and testify, I am the Lord's. I belong to him. I'm not my own. The enemy tried to control me and direct me, but the Lord dealt with that on the cross. Now I realize he died for me, he died with me, that I might live to him. Now I realize I'm not my own. And yes, I'm a member of the body, I'm a co worker. I'm in coordination with many others. But the source is still the Lord Himself. To be able to say, giving the glory to God, I am the Lord's. I belong to Him. And that's why during the months of recovery last year, the Lord, by His tender shepherding, has made it so clear to me, you are mine. And I want you here. It's not easy at this age, in this situation. But you belong to me. And you want me to direct you. And so I'm learning. And I've never been more joyful, more peaceful, more inwardly secure than realizing, even as I'm sharing this with you, oh, realizing I am the Lord's, I belong to Him. What a decisive event in our personal life with Him. A, we need to realize that the Lord bought us with the great price of His precious blood. Now He is our Lord and Master, and we belong to Him. All that we have, all that we do, and all that we are is to Him. I'm going to repeat this. All that we have, all that we do, and all that we are is to Him. Everything is wholly to Him. And now we should live to Him. I just want to bring in something that I believe illustrates this. And I'm not giving you a quiz or a test. But according to the beginning of the book of Revelation, to whom is the Lord speaking? And to whom is He giving this revelation? And I, like you, I've read through this book countless times. Let me just find it, just to show us there. This means so much now to me. Just give me a moment, please. I'll get here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Him to show to His slaves the things that must quickly take place. That's repeated again. And when John was so overwhelmed by the visions he saw, he just fell down before the angel and to worship the angel. The angel said, don't do that. I'm a slave just like you. And I'm not talking about the horrible, evil, negative side of slavery, being a slave. But positively, a slave does not belong to himself. He belongs to the person who bought him. He belongs to Him. And my dear wife is needing to be in the doing her service. I'll join her later today. And it's been so encouraging. And from occasionally she would say, Ron, you're a faithful slave. And I've never been so happy about I'm a slave. Because I'm the Lord's, belong to Him. Okay, point four. As a whole, 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 reveal that to live to the Lord means to live the kind of life that the Lord Jesus lived. Okay, not imitating Him, but Jesus living again in us as the life-giving Spirit. The life that He lived in the days of his time on the earth, where God the Father was his life, his nature, everything to him. Now he wants to live in us the way he lived again. Paul experienced the putting to death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus might be manifested in his body. And that's illustrated by those two verses in 2 Corinthians 4. But I would just take a step and point out a verse 12, because it refers to his ministry and anyone who has a portion of the ministry, because it's corporate, yet there are personal portions, as Paul made it clear, that we are being put to death for the release of resurrection life for the saints. That's ministry. A gifted speaker, an eloquent brother, surely he can give wonderful messages, and we need them. And he can be so clear about so many points. And our emotion may be stirred up, we're excited. That is a gift. But to minister is while speaking, the river of the water of life is flowing. And for that to take place, as Paul was one, Timothy was one, John was one, and others, he lived out this verse because he lived to the Lord, that we are passing through death to release life for you. This is the essence of the genuine ministry. B, when we experience the putting to death of Jesus, we can live the kind of life Jesus lived. A crucified life. Therefore, to live to the Lord is to live a crucified life. Christ lived a crucified life. It's just so sad that certain aspects of organized Christianity, they tell people how you have to make yourself suffer and do all of these things so you live a crucified life. That's totally defective. To live a crucified life is to allow the Spirit to apply to us the crucified life and let Christ live in us again a crucified life by the power of resurrection. And the outcome is the out resurrection. Remember Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. When we live to Christ, we do not live by our outer man. Rather, we live by our inner man, by our regenerated spirit. I'm going to make a comment here, but only in a limited way. And that is the outer man versus the inner man. And so many dear saints, this is not a criticism, it's not a judgment, but it is, I believe, an accurate awareness. The outer man has never been broken in that person. That's why Brother Nee spoke about this in an endearing way, but in a penetrating way, in one of his books, The Breaking of the Outer Man. And there's one hymn in our hymnal by Brother Lee on this. Otherwise, our outer man will be responding to everything. And our spirit is deep within, but it's surrounded by an unbroken shell. And so, if we want to really live to the Lord, then do not allow the enemy to inject fear into you, to be afraid of things that will happen. I'm thankful for the Lord as I look back upon certain things. Thank you, Lord. You arranged that to break the outer man, to smash it. So now the spirit, the inner man, can flow out unhindered. So we're not living by the outer man, but by the regenerated spirit. And so some of you, if you have the leading and the time to pray over this outline, then the Lord who's shepherding your soul at that very moment may just point out, just pause here on this point. Will you allow me to do it? And you say, Lord, I am yours. I'm in your hands. Please do what you need to do. Please give me the experiences I need so that my inner man may be unhindered. I don't want to spend the rest of my days living according to the outer man, an unbroken shell. Point D, living to the Lord in 2 Corinthians 5:14 is equal to walking according to the Spirit in Revelation 8 and 4. Now we come to a precious section. The love of Christ constrains us to live to him and not to ourselves. Now I just would pause here to share with you something that I learned that's in the Word, but I learned it from the ministry of the age. Whenever you read a verse that's a commandment, there are three steps, and I'll illustrate one in a moment. And that is, this is something the Lord said, like in Matthew 5:18, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's a command. Lord, I say amen to your command. That was step one. Step two, Lord, I can't do this. I can't be this. Step three, the Lord will indicate, I was waiting for you to know this and to speak about this. I can do it. I can be it. Let me do it. Let me be it. And so, you know, as a married man, I think I can use this illustration. When Paul is writing in chapter 5 of Ephesians about Christ loving the church and giving himself up for her, then he applies this to marriage. And he doesn't make a suggestion, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That means died for her. This is not advice. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. Love your wife the way Christ loved the church. So can we apply the three steps? Lord, this is a requirement. This is your word. Who am I to step aside and neglect this? Amen to this word. Step two. Lord, I've been married this length of time. You know that I can't do this. I love her. I do. But she knows what kind of love I'm loving her with. The wives are always so discerning. But I do love her, but I can't say it's the way you love the church. I can't do it. And the Lord comes in, and I repeat, I know you can't, but I am love itself. I will now do in you what I did in myself when I died for her. And I will live this way and love this way in you again. Because you say amen to the command, you confess you cannot be it or do it, but you now have faith that I will be it and do it in you, through you, with her. A, the apostles were determined to live to the Lord, to be well-pleasing to him. They were absolutely under the Lord, under his leading, restraint, and control. And everything they did was for the accomplishment of the Lord's desire and purpose. Well, some may think, well, that's for the apostles. Okay, I'm not one of those, so I think this doesn't apply to me. Yes. Oh, the Apostle Paul, he was determined to live to the Lord. Peter was determined to be well-pleasing to him. They all were absolutely under the Lord, under his leading, restraint, and control. And everything they did was for the accomplishment of the Lord's desire and purpose. But a genuine apostle, someone sent by the Lord to preach the gospel of the kingdom, establish churches, and minister to them, they're a pattern. They're not heroes. They were sinners. They were dead in trespasses and sins. They had a self. They had a natural constitution. What they are, you can be. And Paul gave us an example of this in 1 Timothy 1:16. He referred to himself rightly. He said, I'm the greatest sinner. He wanted to destroy all the churches, to persecute the saints, even kill them. But the Lord saved him. Then he said, he made me a pattern to all those who will believe. Brothers and sisters, if Paul could be like this, all of us can be like this in Christ. Paul was breathing out murder when he wanted to go to another place and capture and arrest brothers and sisters, bring them to Jerusalem and vote for their being put to death. He was breathing out hatred. Well, when was the last time you did anything like this? We never did. We had all kinds of feelings. My point is, a person like this became a God-man, living Christ. And what the Lord did in Paul, he's able to do in each one of us if we just be an open vessel, a consecrated vessel, and give the Lord the way to do whatever he needs to do and wants to do in us. B, we should not seek to please ourselves, but to please the Lord by living to him. Maybe one time there'll be a message on being well-pleasing to the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If when you meet the Lord, he would say, dear one, your person, your living, brought joy to me, pleasing to me. See, if we would live to the Lord, we must be constrained by the love of Christ. This love limits us, confining us to the narrow way that leads to the unique aim, Christ himself. So we need to be constrained by the love of Christ. And I believe the prayer is going up right now from the Lord on the throne and the Lord within us. I can honestly say the Lord himself in me at this moment is praying that we will experience the constraining love. The constraining love of Christ. Without this, we can't realize I belong to the Lord. We can't live to the Lord. But it's this love that's poured out in our heart from Romans 5, we know. And now he's the river of love flowing in us. It just carries us where we could never have gone, enables us to do what we could never do, to enables us to become one we could never be. We're at a crucial point, because again, experientially, just to know the facts about this verse is helpful. But the Lord doesn't want us to stop here. He wants everyone who is in the meeting right now, and anyone who will hear the message in the future, if they want to, he wants to be the river of water of life flowing in all the dear saints. Because he knows it's the love that will constrain them. It's the love that will enable them. And eventually, a little comment here, applying the high peak of the divine revelation, God became man to make man God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. Well, I'm working on an outline on God being the Spirit, light, and love. God is love. That's his nature. So when God is operating in us to make us the same as God in life and nature, he wants to make us love. That's becoming God in nature. Love. Then when love is flowing in what is constituting us, and we are becoming it, then we can really live to the Lord. So now we are on a narrow and constricted way. Many of us can testify who have been here for 40 or 50 years, maybe just 30 years, we realize, yes, the way is more narrow, more strict. But I will never leave this and take the broad way. This is the way to glory. 6, we live to the Lord through his resurrection, the issue of his death. In ourselves, by our natural life, we cannot live to the Lord. Only through Christ's resurrection, that is, only through the issue of his death, are we able to live to him. Another, we say amen. Step 2, we can't. The Lord would say, I know. My resurrection life can do it. Please don't try. Stop trying to do it by your natural life, your natural ability, whatever it is natural. That will never work. Just let me be the all-inclusive one to you, and the power of my resurrection will be applied to you. That's what Paul prayed for. That's what Paul experienced. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. That is an experiential knowing, not a doctrinal knowing. And the Lord is awaiting simple prayers from us. Lord, I want to know the power of your resurrection. Please make this real to me. You know my present situation. May the power of your resurrection be applied. And may the goal be the out resurrection. I want my whole being to be brought into resurrection. To be constrained by the love of Christ means to remain in his death, which brings in the enjoyment of his resurrection. And in the resurrection of Christ, we live in him. With Christ, it was cross first and then resurrection. But according to Paul's teaching and pattern, first we experience the resurrection life of Christ. that enables us to bear the cross, and that issues from the cross more experience of the resurrection life. Now, the last section, for the last couple of minutes. Our living to the Lord proves that we are His, and He is our Lord, who died to purchase us to Himself. Our living to the Lord is a declaration that we belong to Him and that He is our Lord. Since we belong to the Lord, we take Him as the only aim in our life. We live to Him. And there I put in hymn 504. Because we are the Lord's. My dear brother Benson, so faithful to the Lord, with an intense suffering that began with his health in his 20s. Then he finished the course to be to the Lord. And so whether it's life or the end of life, we are the Lord's. For some of us, I just say in the last moment or so, that are really elderly, and we're not living in fear. We will not allow fear to reign in our life. The throne of God reigns over us. But we realize maybe we'll still be here to be raptured live. Maybe the Lord will take us to the end. But Lord, whether I'm there with you or whether I'm taken to you, I am yours. I belong to you. My future is in your hands. And now that I belong to you, I'm learning to live to you. And I'm doing this because your love is constraining me right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your loving care and your endearing shepherding. Glory be to God.